Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Okay, today's show, Vital Concepts for Sexual Power. That's an eye-opener. Last week we did Mother's Day. Got to include the men. So let's go to it. As always, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, show 313. We're going to talk about that all-important subject, especially for men over the age of 50. Sometimes you get that concern at the age of 40. What's it about? Well, those of you that follow nutrition believe it to be about that magic herb that you buy on the market that promises you that return to the virility of your youth. And sometimes that works, but honestly, most of the time it's a dud. Now, I say that not unequivocally. Sometimes things do work. But the key here, as always with the show, is that there are fundamentals to sexual power, virility, every dimension of it under consideration that you want to understand. If you get the concept straight, then you really get the power of the herbs. And so to start the show first, I want to make that connection between getting the fundamentals of sexual stamina, especially if you're over 40, especially if you're over 50 years old, getting the fundamentals down, understanding what the physiology of erection is, of being able to maintain the erection during intercourse, so on and so forth, of virility, the ability of those sperm to actually, for those of you who are at that phase where you want to have children, to have that sperm count up and to have those sperm be potent enough to go on that perilous journey after ejaculation. And any of you that have seen the documentaries, National Geographic has done great work giving camera, doing with high-speed cameras, showing that the journey for the sperm, in an average ejaculate, a good strong ejaculate, you're going to have about 300 million sperm, up to 400 million sperm. As we know, it only takes one to penetrate the egg, but that journey is fraught with many, many difficulties, so only the strongest sperm get there. The ability of the sperm, you rate the sperm on the basis of their motility and their morphology. Motility meaning, are they strong swimmers? Morphology meaning, is anything wrong with the shape of the sperm in such a way that they might not penetrate the egg? So we're going to break the show down into component parts. You've got the virility of the sperm. You've got the strength of the erection. You've got the ability to maintain the erection for certain periods of time. And all of this, and here's my point, comes down to fundamental concepts. After that, I'll teach you how to blend in the herbs. So, as always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's .cc. First of all, the testes have two cells. The testicle has two types of cells. One type of cell is called a Sertoli cell. The other type of cell is called a Leydig cell. Each cell does a different thing. The Leydig cell makes the testosterone. And that cell is a factory, and that factory has to be nourished. And yes, you can overload that factory. You can burn out that factory. And then those cells, like any cell in the body, suffer from all the things cells suffer from. So you've got to have testosterone to have sexual power. And those cells are produced, that hormone, testosterone, is produced by Leydig cells. And it's the function, or it's the efficiency of that factory, and we'll get into that, that determines just how much of that testosterone you're going to be producing. There's another type of cell called a Sertoli cell. And that cell nourishes the sperm. So your body makes sperm, spermatogenesis, but the evolution of that sperm, the nourishment of that sperm, what goes into making that sperm a strong swimmer, is a function of the Sertoli cell. So two things going down on in your testicles, gentlemen. One is the process through which you enhance the rate and quantity of your testosterone. The other process is making the sperm and nourishing the sperm so that when they go all the way up the spermatic cord, get stored in a little place called the ampulla, just behind the prostate, that when you ejaculate, you've got not just quantity, but virility. You can ejaculate 400 million sperm, which is a good quantity, but if the quality of those sperm are defunct, well, what good are they? Better you ejaculate 100 million really, really virile warriors, because it only takes one. And think of that. All right. So that's your testicular issues, and we'll get back to that in a second. Now, what controls the production, and this is what's so functionally important for you to understand, what controls the production of the testosterone? Well, testosterone's a hormone, and for as much as we're going to plug all these testosterone boosters, there is issues in American culture that far exceed the effects of the herbs. And the first one we're going to hit is insulin. That's the big one. Nothing suffers more from high insulin than the production of testosterone. And this is often tied into adrenal dysfunction. And by the time you're 40 or 50, if you add up insulin resistance to adrenal fatigue and put them together, that is a knockout combination to what blocks testosterone production. So if you're hitting that phase in your 40s and your 50s, where the erections are not as firm, where you can't hold the sperm, but especially the strength of the erection, the first place you look is to insulin. Now, that's a whole subject by itself. I've got shows on this. Look the shows up. Get into the whole issue of insulin. And this is distinct from blood sugar. So I'll just deviate just for a flash to say that your blood sugar is regulated by a hormone that your pancreas produces called insulin. And if you're giving your body a good reason to bring the blood sugar down all the time because you're jacking it up on carbs and various other goodies, your body starts to produce insulin, but too much. And then you start to become insulin resistant, especially if you've gained weight. So look at, if you're in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, look at that classic sequela. Young, healthy, virile at 20. You put the little belly on at 30. The belly gets bigger at 40. By the time you're 50 years old, you're packing an extra 30, 40, 50, 60 pounds. And what was once virile now, and those testes still capable of producing much testosterone, are having to compete with the rise in insulin production. Why? Well, one, you've stuffed yourself with too many carbs and too much sugar. That forces a rise in the sugar in the blood. The body doesn't want that, so it secretes a lot of insulin. But you've gained weight, and so the insulin doesn't work as well. And so you've developed insulin resistance secondary to weight gain. And underneath it all, it's driven off a diet too high in cheap carbs. So instead of producing one molecule of insulin like you used to, now you produce 10. So every time you eat, you produce massive amounts of insulin because you're insulin resistant. And as long as you circulate high insulin, your testosterone levels plummet. There's a concept in glandular medicine you want to understand, because we're going to repeat the same thing when it comes to stress and cortisol. Two big factors, insulin resistance and stress. Your average guy at 50 has succumbed to insulin resistance and stress, And then there's about three more big ones. And if you get these five straight, most men would be back right on track like their 20s. To that, you add some herbs, and I'll talk later about how to select herbs that really do work. And then you get that extra 20% boost, and you're feeling good. If you're in your 50s, 60s, and you're not feeling good, and you listen to six or seven of these vital concepts, and you add some quality adaptogens, you're going to feel good. It's not a mystery, and don't ever think at 50 or 60 years old it's over for you. Yes, it happens. Some of us are born with less, and we'll get into that later too. But most men are very strong into their early 70s, even late 70s, if they'll just follow the concepts. So let's understand this then. When you produce a hormone, that hormone finds a binding site. When you produce testosterone, that testosterone has to find a binding site. And that production and that binding site is interfered with by competitive hormones. So the binding sites, we say, the binding sites that will produce insulin for you, that will produce testosterone for you, get interfered with by competitor hormones. And one of the competitor hormones to the binding sites that make you produce testosterone is insulin. We call this competitive inhibition. The receptor site for the hormone that's going to produce what you want is interfered with by another hormone, not because that hormone's better at the binding site, but because it so outnumbers the right hormone. The insulin so outnumbers the hormone to produce the testosterone that it binds the insulin and you never get the testosterone production as a result. So the concept here is called competitive inhibition. Here's another one. Under stress, the same thing that happens with the insulin happens from too much cortisol. Now, cortisol is the stress hormone. It's produced by the adrenal glands. Stress means functionally, in terms of the cell biology, that your response to your environment, mediated through your nervous system, forces the production of high amounts of cortisol from the adrenal cortex. High cortisol breaks down tissues. High cortisol does not grow muscle, it breaks muscle down. High cortisol does not increase testosterone production, high cortisol decreases testosterone production. So you got two issues. After 40, the stress has eaten you away. The kids are in high school, college, bills go up, jobs become more scarce. You're older on all levels. And the net effect of 10, 15, 20 years of being out in the workplace are starting to burn you out, age 40, age 50, age 60. Those adrenals are exhausted because of so much stress. And in response, to keep you stable, to keep you getting up and somewhat functional, your cortisol levels are spiking through the roof. In which case, combined with insulin, you are competitively inhibiting the hormones that are required to produce testosterone. That says a lot. That by itself, if you can get that, you can understand the first two huge concepts in what controls testosterone production. Against that, your return in terms of herbs, taking herbs for sexual potency, sexual power, against those two factors, you're in the law of diminishing returns. It's not the way I want you to think about the herb. Once you get the vital concepts down, then the herbs are posed to work much better. Let's keep going. We're going to add to this, all right? So competitive inhibition, high insulin from high blood sugar. You put on some weight, you become insulin resistant. The insulin resistance then competitively inhibits the hormones that are supposed to bind down in the testes for testosterone production. And high cortisol due to stress leading to the same thing. All right, perfect. You're getting it. Couple of tidbits. The testes are always too hot. This is a new one. This is from living sedentary. This is from wearing as much clothes as we wear. Yes, it is true. We evolved without too much clothing down there in the groin. And those testicles are made, honestly, to hang like they hang with animals. Out in the air, in the open, cooling themselves down. Testes run hot. They run hot because of what they are. We put them in underwear, then we put them in tight underwear, then we sit, then we gain weight. Then the weight between our legs crushes the testicles, on top of the underwear crushing the testicles. We're sitting on surfaces that even may be electromagnetic in their function. So the guy that's traveling, you know, not so much in LA, but often enough if you measure the radiation coming off the car seats. Even if you're not putting the heater on, the radiation coming off the car seats can be far too high for the testes. And if you're living in cold climates, lots of people are up north listening to the show. Even up north, even 100 miles north in the winter, a little inland, you're warming up that car seat in the morning. If you're driving a half an hour each way, if you're driving an hour round trip, 2 hours a day in radiation, and the heat on the seat, with the heat from the underwear, with the heat from being a little overweight between the legs. That's a little one. It's not a driver. It's not a driver in the sense that insulin is a driver or high cortisol is a driver. But nonetheless, a tidbit. Radiation and that the testes are receiving too much heat from our sedentary lifestyles. Insulin, cortisol, radiation, too much heat. Let's keep going. Protein deficiency. High quality protein. Now, I don't want to get into that debate about should you be vegetarian. Check my shows out. Everyone's different. But there are a lot of people, and they can be carnivores or vegetarians, who are protein deficient, and it may be you're not digesting your protein, your hydrochloric acid is low, the quality of your protein is poor. Remember, protein is 8 essential amino acids. A high quality protein, an egg, any animal protein, dairy, include all 8 essential amino acids. Now, if you cut those back and you do rice and beans, and you do tofu, and you do all sorts of things that don't put the 8 essential in large quantities, you have an inferior protein. This is a little thing, but it's a big thing. How many people I've met at 60 or 70 years old coming in complaining about loss of libido, low testosterone production, they're working out, but their muscles aren't building, and if you look at their diet, they're protein deficient. But that's news to them because in their minds, they're eating all the nuts, all the grains, and more than enough, according to them, of everything they need. And yet the quality of the protein is very low. You make your choice about you, but you have to factor this concept in. You truly do. And listen to your body. If you listen to your body, and you sit down and you get a high-quality grass-fed rack of lamb or a high-quality grass-fed filet mignon, and you treat yourself to your perfect barbecue, and you do that rare, and you do it by itself, and you feel some strength derived from it. If you get strength from your animal protein, it's a sign, it's a message. It's a message to you that you're protein deficient. This changes as much as anything I've mentioned. A lot of Americans either don't eat the protein of high quality nature or they don't digest it. So you've got to add that. So you've got your insulin resistance. You've got your stress, high cortisol. You've got protein deficiency. You've got the ergonomics of the testes. They need to be sort of loose and cool. And a sedentary, cramped lifestyle doesn't accord that. Let alone lots of people are working in EMF. Okay. More. Do you know in Chinese medicine, there's an expression? An expression that explains aging. We say men lose sperm and women lose blood. Aging, in Chinese medicine, a favorite subject of mine, as you know, is as simple as women lose blood and men lose sperm. And there is much wisdom to that. I can tell you from clinical practice, there is much wisdom to that. If you take a female who's a bleeder, meaning her cycles, her periods are 7 days, and she's tired before and after, and you work with her health and bring that period to a 3-day period with minimal blood loss, you will stop aging in its tracks. If you watch women who have a history of losing large, inappropriate amounts of blood, they are invariably the ones who age faster. This is not a little thing, it's a big thing. The regulation of the feminine cycle controls aging. Now, for males, it's the amount of sperm they lose, ejaculation. Now, that sect of the Chinese, the Taoists, they were a social group in Chinese history. Taoists, Confucianists, Buddhists. We had the legalists. A group you don't hear much of. But most of Chinese medicine, as Paul Unschuld, the German scholar, will tell you, was derived from Taoism. The Taoists were the master herbalists. The Taoists were the Kung Fu masters. The Taoists were the Qigong masters. The Taoists were the ones that lived in nature. The Taoists, if they had attained that mastery, were the ones that were sought out to give counsel to the king or the warlords. They occupied a place of very high esteem in Chinese culture. And that way of life, so to speak, was called Taoism. Taoism. Lao Tse was a Taoist. That's Lao-Tze. Out of Taoism came an understanding. But you see, it hooks up to Western physiology. It's not a myth. It's not ancient folklore nonsense. They said, the Taoists said, you ejaculate too much, you age fast. You ejaculate too much, you lose bone. And the worst thing you could do as a Taoist was to masturbate. And this cracks me up. Being raised in New York City, being brought up in the Catholic school system, and having the nuns and all Catholics age 45, 50 plus, remember the warnings of if you masturbate, you'll go to hell. I mean, I was definitely in classrooms where the nuns would let us know that. You know, you're 10 or 11 years old, you're getting to that age, and the nuns were quite, you know, they knew quite well we were getting to that age, and it would blurt out. It would come out after they smacked you across the back of the head. They'd tell you things like that. The priests would tell you things like that. There was a whole culture about that. What cracks me up is it was true. Now, they may have been telling us this for the wrong reasons. It's not that you're going to burn in hell. It's that, as the Taoists point out, and in clinical practice, you will see witness to this. If you talk to men, if you work with people who have issues, you will see men who are excessive masturbators. People who are ejaculating once a day, twice a day, three times a day. That's right. It's being wasted, and you are losing what the Chinese call jing, G-I-N-G. J-I-N-G, jing. He Shu Wu, I put it on the website. That's a jing tonic, He Shu Wu. It's a jing tonic. There are herbs that restore jing. The purpose of life, in a sense, as far as Chinese medicine is concerned, is not to waste your jing. In America, we say you're burned out. In America, we say excessive sexual activities. We say lots of sugar, lots of junk food, lots of drugs. Speed freaks. Everybody knew a speed freak in high school, and their teeth were rotted out, and they looked 20 years older than their age, and they were only 14, and they looked 30. Anyone that's grown up in the inner cities knew someone who, God bless them, had enough pain to start doing things like crystal meth, different forms of amphetamines, crack, coke, the whole thing. And you'd watch these people age prematurely. Those herbs eat your jing, we say. Now, not as extreme, of course. So does excessive ejaculation. There are expressions in Chinese medicine that say, okay, you don't ejaculate until you get to the point where the wind blows, produces an ejaculation. There are expressions in Chinese medicine that say, when you're sleeping at night and your organ presses against the sheets, when that produces an ejaculation, it's time to ejaculate. Shy of the wind blowing, shy of pressure in bed on a mattress, you shouldn't induce ejaculation. Now, that's a big one. And that's a show worth its own show. But I will say this. When you're ejaculating, if you're feeling fatigue after ejaculation, that's a sign you shouldn't be ejaculating. Now, your urologist, your endocrinologist, is not going to agree with me. But I can tell you from clinical practice, lots of men get weak after they ejaculate. The fighters, the martial artists, are the ones, oddly enough, that are going to attest to this more rapidly than anybody. They know their punch doesn't quite have that snap. You know, the great story is Marvin Hagler, arguably the greatest middleweight in the history of boxing. Yeah, you got Sugar Ray Robinson, all right, but he crossed a lot of weight classes, Sugar Ray Robinson. Hagler definitely in the top five, definitely one of the most consistent fighters in boxing history. His trip was for 6 months before a fight. No ejaculation. At least that was the goal. And most of your fighters, especially your boxers traditionally, will say ejaculation weakens strength. Your athletes understand it. In the equine world, horses, the best way to calm a horse down is to get it to ejaculate. Anyone that's worked around thoroughbreds or horses that are problematic, belligerent, tough to work with, we'll note that after the ejaculation, the horse is so much calmer. So you see, an ejaculation should relax an individual, but when an ejaculation begins to drain an individual, it's your body telling you, you're working me too hard. So your Sertoli cells, your Leydig cells, are under stress. And you add to that stress when you cross that line into the degree of ejaculation that begins to burn out the cell. Burning out the cell means the cell will begin to build metabolites from the excess workload, and those metabolites will begin to congest the production of the cell. And that's exactly how it works. Now, what are you going to do to help that? One thing you're going to do is move the testes. So we're moving a little bit away now from the glandular explanations, and we're going to start to get into the biomechanical understanding of those testes. Metabolites. If you look at a testicle, if you look at a Sertoli cell or a Leydig cell under a microscope, under an electron microscope, under whatever microscope you're going to use, you can look in there and you can say, hey, Joe, your testicles, even though you're 60, you have the testicles of a 30-year-old man. Or you can look at somebody else and say, hey, you have the testicles, you're 30, you have the testicles of a 60-year-old man. So we want to make a distinction now between the chronological age of those cells and the biological age of those cells. Now, the biological age of those cells, I was just saying, in part, has a lot to do with how much you stress the cell. And that has to do with ejaculation and fatigue and pain and so on and so forth. Tell you a great story. Well, all right, let me get this in. This is a great story. Years ago, I got very involved with a massage school, and one of the secretaries at the massage school also worked for a famous Chinese producer. He was a film producer in the martial arts, and she was present the day this famous Chinese film producer called in a Taoist master. In other words, those kung fu cats that know everything about staying young. And the reason this Chinese producer called in, because he was in that circuit of people since he was a producer of the martial arts films, he knew this Taoist master and called him in because he was going to pay him. The producer was going to pay the Taoist an exorbitant sum of money for ginseng. Now, ginseng is one of the great adaptogens, and we'll talk about those later as it relates to sexual function. And anybody in the herbal kingdom, especially the herbal kingdom of China, is always looking for that superior grade of ginseng, because if you're 70, well, and you get the right ginseng, it's Viagra, basically, but it's Viagra in a healthy way, and you'll have the erections of a 20-year-old. And so this Chinese producer, famous producer, has the money to bring this ginseng in. And of course, the dealers of it in this case were these Taoist masters. So the Taoist master comes. And again, this secretary who I knew witnesses this. The two of them are battling in Chinese. And what it comes down to is the Taoist master, even though he's called to do this, will not give the Chinese producer the ginseng. Because he says, if I give it to you, it's going to kill you. The Taoist was saying to the producer, you're old and you're too weak to take this quality of a ginseng. And the Taoist was saying, I know you're going to use it in dosages that are too large. And if you do, you'll die. It's almost like saying, you're 85 years old, and you've met a 30-year-old woman, and you need to keep up, and you can't do it, obviously, but you're going to try, and so you're going to go out, and you're going to take a hit of Viagra for a horse, because you're 85. And if you do that, if you talk, and I actually firsthand know a nurse who says once a month people come in from overdoses on Viagra and suffer near-fatal consequences. You can do that with Chinese herbs. And this Taoist is telling this producer in Chinese, which was the kind of funniest part of it. They're going back and forth, yelling at each other almost. And she's trying to understand. And it turns out the Taoist took his ginseng and left. He says, if I give it to you, you're going to die. And she said one thing he did was feel the lower abdomen of the producer, and he noted that the lower abdomen was sweaty. It was moist, which means you've got nothing left down there. When you're truly deficient, you really can't do these things with the herbs. Little side note, fascinating side note, but again, it offers demonstration of how this thing about how this thing about your type A, high sex drive, hard living type can hit a point where you are just out of steam. And when you get there, you have to rebuild yourself slowly. So keep that in mind, those of you in the sexual strength market looking for that super herb. They really do work, but you have to bring yourself up there. And if you're not burnt out, listen to your body. When after ejaculation, you suffer more than mildly relaxation, you're going into depletion, you really have to learn to limit. You will live longer and you will have a healthier and a longer sex life if you listen. And what it represents is the fact that you're burning out those cells of the testes. Now, let's get to the biomechanics. In other words, how do you remove the metabolites of the excess burden you put on your genitalia? You've got to be able to move the testicles. Now, in a sense, right, you can touch your testicles, so moving them doesn't... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the biomechanical factors that crush the nerves and the blood vessels to the testicles. Nobody represents this whole issue better, again, some of the Chinese martial artists. Yes, those guys that do tie 100, 200 pounds around the scrotum and lift a 200 pound weight tied to the scrotum. And if you've never heard of that, well, welcome to my show. These are not stunts. They're not tricks. They're not deceptive. They're just examples, like Jack LaLanne was an example of a guy that did paranormal things because he trained his body and lived a long, healthy life as a result. These are just other examples of it in ways that our culture's not that familiar with. One of them is these guys who study herbalism. They study Qigong and Kung Fu and yoga, and they do these feats of strength, one of which is tying a couple of hundred pounds around the scrotum and lifting it off the floor. Now, that's what I mean about being biomechanically sound, having a strong biomechanical foundation around the perineum and the genitals. Now, what's that dynamic? Again, I'm not going to overdo it, but it relates to the psoas muscle. And of course, a patent psoas, having patency or full function of the psoas muscle, is a lifelong process. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it's a life goal. A relationship with a muscle, if we had a relationship with the psoas, a muscle most people have never heard of, you, of course, have. You, of course, have been on my website, straighttalk.cc. You, of course, have looked at the pictures, and you, of course, are going to, if you're driving and listening to today's show, go home, get on that website, and look at picture 12, look at picture 13, look at picture 14, look at picture 17, 15, 16, and look at this dynamic around a muscle called the psoas. And listen to my other shows, because I don't want you to kid yourself. I don't want you to kid yourself about your relationship with your psoas. Because unless it meets my standards, you don't have a relationship with your psoas, and you won't bear the benefits. Enough said there, so I don't deviate. Point is this. The minute that psoas goes anterior, meaning the minute the psoas shortens, it's going to crush the nerve plexuses to the penis. The blood and nerve that you've got to deliver to the penis and the testes dies as the psoas shifts anterior. As the psoas shortens, comes anterior, the nerve plexuses off the sacrum down into the testes and the penis don't work anymore. That's a big concept. That's a big concept. Go to picture 19 if you can. Those of you driving, just use your imagination. I tell you enough. I check with my drivers. You can understand enough about what I'm talking about without the pictures, but as soon as you can, get to straighttalk.cc. This is show, what, 311, is it? 3:13, and take a look at the lumbosacral plexus going by the sacrum. Look at the nerves coming out of the sacrum and down, dropping in to the penis and testes. The minute that psoas goes anterior, those nerves get crushed. That is a flexibility issue. That is an issue of being able to connect to those muscles, to connect physically, to feel them, to feel the pleasure of those muscles stretching. Again, I'm talking about a group of muscles, the psoas, the iliacus, muscles that most people don't even know exist. In Chinese medicine, we call that the root energy. The root. You know that fabled little Chinese man? He's 5'1" and 95 pounds, and he stands there in the middle of a dojo, a martial arts studio, and he centers himself, and then he asks some 6'8", 380-pound Goliath to punch him or knock him down, and the football player runs across the floor and tries to push the little old man over, and of course, invariably, the football player gets hurt. It's like running into a wall. Again, you might think this is a trick. You might think this is a myth. Don't be ignorant. The Tai Chi masters, the martial arts masters who really understood how to shift their gravity lines because they were flexible in the lumbosacral area, because they had relationship with the psoas, because their root energy was solid, would do these things easily. You couldn't move them. You couldn't lift them. You couldn't knock them over. And if you hit them and they braced themselves, usually you'd break your own hand. There's lots John Q. Public is not exposed to. There's lots that gets reduced, mitigated, marginalized to sheer fantasy and folklore that's not. And this is one example. So the consequence of having connection down there means big benefits. The consequence of having no connection down there means you're impotent at 50. And a lot of people, you talk to your average guy at 60, it's done. I mean, it's functional, but it's not happening. This is all unnecessary. It's all unnecessary. It's just some vital concepts. Get a good night's sleep. Yeah, that's an art form. Get the sugar out of the diet. Bring the insulin and glucose down. Get flexible the way you're supposed to get. Start living a lifestyle where your health exercises, whatever your shtick is, starts to show real significant changes in what you experience as stress. That's your health packet. And then watch what happens to your sexual function. Now, if you want to take it to another level, well, you've got to understand the relationship between the sacrum and the lumbar spine. So I want you to look at the sacrum and the lumbar spine. And I think that's probably the best picture. Picture number 19. That sacrum down there. So if you put your hand around near the crack of the buttocks down, you're going to feel that point, which is the coccyx. If you come up a little bit, your hand is on your sacrum. That sacrum has a joint, meaning a hinge. And that hinge, if you're looking at that picture, is between the last lumbar vertebra and the sacral segment. That sacrum tends to fixate, meaning it gets locked, and it can get locked in a variety of positions. And no matter what position it gets locked in, once it's locked, you don't pump the nerve plexuses. And the pumping of the nerve plexuses into the genitalia, the penis and the scrotum, the penis and the testes, the pumping of those nerve plexuses driven by a flexible L5S1 is what restores your vigor. A dancer would understand this. A Pilates instructor should understand this. A Kung Fu master, a yogic must understand this, or they've missed the boat themselves. And this is about learning isolations. So we can call it flexibility, but it's about learning isolations. Gentlemen, over the age of 50, if you've put on a little weight, if you're not flexible, if you've done everything I've mentioned the wrong way, if in fact that sacrum is not flexible, if you're not flexible down low, quadriceps, adductors, hamstrings, gluteal muscles, side twists. Yes, usually I'm talking to you. The sacrum is fixated. Just take my word for it. And what you're losing, if you're listening and you feel like some of my descriptions fit your concerns, part of what you lost, especially when it comes to holding your ejaculate, when the sacrum fixates, it becomes very difficult to sustain, meaning you prematurely ejaculate, meaning you hold the ejaculation and not long enough. That's from sacral fixation. And that's a function of weight, but even more than weight, it's a function of limited flexibility in that hinge. And changing that means you're learning to isolate. So if I say, stand there, bend down, touch your toes, stretch your hamstring, you say, oh, that's easy. And you're right, it is. Stretching your hamstrings is not in isolation. But getting flexible enough to where you can pull the L5-S1 joint space open is in isolation. And I can't really describe it to you successfully on the radio. I can hint at it. I can scratch the surface. But the fortunate, unfortunate part of it all, because it's an art form, is that you have to teach people to do that. And, of course, the Chinese, the yogics, have done a wonderful job with this kind of thing. Anyone that understands this circuit of biomechanics understands that at some point after you train, you'll start to feel those joint spaces open. And when the sacrum becomes mobile, there is a dramatic shift in sexual function. That is a very, very real thing. In medicine, we say point and shoot. The pointing is done based on parasympathetic flow of the parasympathetic nerves, the relaxation nerves, from the sacrum down into the penis. That's if you can relax. If you can relax but you can't move your sacrum, you're going to have trouble. If you can move your sacrum but you can't relax, you're going to have trouble. If you can relax, if in the sexual act you're relaxed, if you're not worried about stupid things, if you feel somewhat confident about your process, and we won't get into that. But the point is, in the ideal of it, if you are with a partner that you know loves you, you're comfortable in the process, it doesn't matter to you if it works or it doesn't work, there's no pressures, and then you're flexible in the sacrum, you're going to stimulate the parasympathetic nerves into the penis, and that will cause a strong vasodilatory effect. Now, once that erection occurs, the pumping action and the pleasure will sustain the erection, except then you have a second problem. And that problem is that once you're sustaining the erection, because you got the erection, because the erection's hard, because the whole process is carefree and pleasurable, and as long as you can keep going, which you can keep going, it's going to all work. Then the issue is, if the sympathetic nerves don't know how to shut off, you'll ejaculate. Premature ejaculation is not an issue of the parasympathetics. It's an issue of the sympathetic impulses not shutting off. So let's get to another learning process here. Sexual function, in part, is about a balance between parasympathetic and sympathetic impulses. Okay, some men on drugs, men that have done drugs, you know, psychotropic drugs, drugs to deal with their anxiety, you know what happens to them? They get an erection and they can't lose the erection. And you may think that's a good thing. It's not. It's called priapism. they get big, strong erections, hard erections that actually become painful. They can't ejaculate because the drug has cut off the ejaculation nerves, which are the sympathetic nerves. That's when you really learn about that balance. But just your everyday person, if you're stressed out, your sympathetic nerves are overstimulated. So everything makes you hyper. Your nerves are fried, meaning it's very easy to stimulate your sympathetic nervous system. In fact, your sympathetic nervous system, those specific nerves down to the penis that will initiate ejaculation when appropriate, are so overstimulated that you ejaculate prematurely. So you may get the erection, and as long as you can, you know, pump away, it feels great, and you can maintain a nice hard erection, but then the sympathetic nerves won't shut up, and it's 30 seconds into the process, and you've ejaculated. That's what you call autonomic balance. So we say in medicine, point and shoot. The pointing, meaning the erection, is parasympathetically ordained. And the shooting, or the ejaculation, is sympathetically ordained. And it's that balance between the two. So generally what we have, so let's make the perfect storm. All right? You were as virile as a lion at 20. You got married at 30. By the time you were 40, you'd put on some weight. You're working overtime. You've got two or three kids. By the time you're 50, now you've gained about 30 or 40 extra pounds. You've stopped exercising. You're sedentary. You're working at a desk. You're radiating the heck out of the genitals. The stresses have built up high cortisol. You gained weight, insulin resistance. You're eating too many, you know, junk foods because you're busy. You only got 20 minutes for lunch. Or you skip lunch and you eat too large a dinner. The kids are ever more demanding. The relationship doesn't have the merriment it did before the kids were born. It's your typical American thing. I know it's not you. Somebody else, your neighbor. But collectively, you've fallen into that place where the perfect storm is occurring, and now you're fixated in the sacrum. So you're fixated in the sacrum, so you can't get real vasodilation. You love your wife. You're comfortable with her. You're away on vacation. You're relaxed. You're all these nice things. But your testosterone levels have plummeted for a bunch of reasons. You're out there with your testosterone creams and your adaptogenic herbs, and you're there for that great weekend, that wonderful vacation, the whole thing. But you see, you can't get away with it at that point. Because that hinge between L5 and S1, that hinge is stuck shut, and you don't get the pumping mechanism. So your erection's weak, and then you shoot too soon. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. Look at these pictures. Herbs. I'll go straight to it. Super X. There's a guy, he's a biochemist out of Rutgers named Dr. Chi. Get his Super X formula. If you want a shortcut and you're fortunate enough or in a good enough place so that just the herb will work, get the Super X. I think it's the best thing on the market. If you use it and it doesn't work, get to the fundamentals. That aside, cordyceps, any good cordyceps, Premier Research Labs, Dragon Herbs, Dr. Cheese Cordyceps, try your deer antler, especially from Dragon Herbs, Siberian ginseng, ashwagandha, maca from Whole World Botanicals, He Shu Wu, that's again from Dragon Herbs. Try your Jing Tonics from those companies especially. Try those herbs that support adrenal function. The adrenals are very tied in to testosterone production. And hope for the best. And if you don't get the best out of that, you can't take the shortcuts. Go back, listen to the show. All right, that's it for today. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call that office if you're lost in the labyrinth of help. If you've tried everything and can't get your health concerns figured out, if you need to be set on the right course of action, 714-850-1007. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.